You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Everybody, welcome to what are a couple of my favorite shows of the year, the two shows immediately before Christmas, our final two Saturdays before that blessed day during which God sent his son on Christmas. This is a beautiful time of year for so many reasons, and we like to sort of trim the program, if you will, with some of the sounds of the season 2 weeks before Christmas. Or two Saturdays before Christmas, we like to play some of the fun and festive songs. That was actually a very good actor, Bill Nighy, as he was in the character of Billy Mack for the movie Love Actually, a fun little Christmas song there, classic actor. Well, we like to play some of the fun Christmas songs. And then the week before Christmas, we play the more spiritual hymns and the Christmas carols that we all know and love, time-honored tradition and classics, and we're happy to be here with you. It's great to be home. I am, of course, your host, James Edwards. It is Saturday evening, December the 13th, and I was in Washington, D.C. a week ago tonight on the East Coast. I had a great meeting with great people, a lot of fans of the Political Cesspool there a week ago tonight. I want to say hello to everybody who may be listening this evening that was there with me. But it's great to be home. I have joined forces with Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, both of whom were not on the show last week. Eddie was running his marathon, the second marathon in as many months, 26.2 miles. We'll talk to Eddie about that later on in the show tonight, maybe in the third hour. Keith Alexander was also off. Winston Smith filled in last week very admirably during that first hour. I came on the second hour, stepped away from my function to call in, and then the third hour we replayed one of the hours from our 10-year anniversary celebration. Well, you listen to the show, so you know that. Tonight, though, we're all in the studio again. In fact, we tried this model a few weeks back with me and Keith and Eddie all in the studio, all at the same time. It took on the atmosphere of a frat party, a stag party, and we just had a good time. We all got to the station about an hour early tonight, and we've been cutting up and just really enjoying each other's company. And tonight, we're going to be comparing the narrative as it applies to media-manufactured martyrs like Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and Trayvon Martin versus the countless, the innumerable victims of racially charged black-on-white violence who are conveniently ignored by the establishment media. So you're going to hear a common-sense commentary on taboo issues tonight as only we can deliver here in the Political Cesspool. And you're going to hear some fun Christmas songs as well. It's very hard. It is very hard to play Christmas songs while we're talking about garbage like this, but we find a way to pull it off and leave everybody feeling good. You wouldn't normally play a Christmas song right before diving into such sordid topics as this, but we find a way to balance it. We walk that tightrope every week. Well, I want to let Keith and Eddie say hello before we get down to business tonight, because we do have a full plate. With both of them having been off last week, we've got more to talk about than we'll ever cover, so I should probably stop with the bantering introduction and get down to it, but I do want to let both of y'all say hello.
Well, thank you, James. I think we've got uncovered some real tasty tidbits about Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, and what's the third guy's name?
I Can't Breathe.
Darren, what's his name? Or I think his name is I Can't Breathe guy. Yeah, the guy that is the I Can't Breathe guy. That's the best. That's the piece de resistance that we will say for you.
And listen, I made some comments about that last week that I still stand behind. You know, cops are not always saints. In fact, a lot of cops have become almost thuggish. But you know, the grand jury in each of these cases, well, not in so much in Zimmerman's case, that went to trial. But anyway, you know what's going on here, folks. We're not going to talk about it. Let's let Eddie say hello before we get into all of that.
Well, let me say this first. The grand jury system is working the way our ancestors intended it to be. It's the interposition of common sense and the will of the public in a judicial system that has proven all too tyrannical in the past without that.
I have to give the grand jury a lot of credit in these two instances, the Garner incident and, of course, the Michael Brown incident, which got even more press. You have to understand the crushing amount of pressure they were under to send these cops up the river. You know, certainly at the
a politician
would have certainly folded, and these people certainly put their lives on the line. You know, if their identities had ever come out, who's to say what would have happened? And we know that there has been some black-on-white murders as a result of the Ferguson decision. But, Eddie, say hello to everybody.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your sweet, cuddly, grandfatherly type bombardier here. I guess we'll have to suffer through these Christmas carols, but, you know, I hate to put my sword down for the night, but maybe let's lower it at half-mast. How about that?
There you go.
Think that'll work?
Man, we love Christmas. I know you're wearing a Christmas sweater tonight, for goodness sake.
But it's great to be here tonight, and I'm glad that my brother Keith Alexander or James, whichever one, brought up the grand jury system that is sacrosanct in this country right here. I'm afraid in some cases, the grand juries, the people you get to the grand jury have not been educated, have not been schooled in their power.
Well, no system is perfect because all of these systems involve humans. And since humans are not perfect, nothing will be perfect.
The grand jury is one of the only things we have left legally to defend us against a tyrannical government. But without backing that up with bayonet, it too will be useless. But I guess we'll get on to something else further along. I don't want to take up too much time with that.
I just wanted to let y'all both say hello before we're actually going to dig into this fairly deeply this first hour. During the second and third hours, respectively, we are going to let Keith and Eddie sort of pick the topics. And they've Keith's got a stack of newspapers here that would drown you. And Eddie's got some stuff on his mind as well. So it's going to be a variety show tonight, if you will, because, again, we have a log jam with both of these gentlemen not being on the program last week. But I told y'all when y'all walked into the station tonight, to the studio, that I had a nightmare about y'all last night. Now, that was the truth. This is the honest-to-God truth. I had a nightmare about Eddie and Keith last night.
We haven't heard about this
yet. I haven't told him yet. I said, wait till we get on the radio. So I'm having this dream, and I don't know where I'm coming from. The dream didn't reveal that, but I was running late, and I was in traffic. I don't know if I was coming in from out of town or what, but I wasn't at the studio at the time that the show started. So Sam said, me running late, this isn't a dream. But I was extra late this time. And Keith and Eddie had to start the show without me, and it was just an unmitigated nightmare. Y'all got on, and you started cussing at each other, and you were fighting with each other and threatening each other. It was kind of like how y'all act off the air, but it was on the air, and it was just so bad. Sam had to cut y'all off and pull the plug and just play nothing but Christmas songs until I got there. And then mercifully, I woke up from the nightmare and realized it was just that, and I was able to fall back asleep. We're going to take a break.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time, it's the right.
I love that song. Now that is a great, this makes you feel good inside, folks. And this Bobby Helms, this song actually is featured during the opening credits of one of the great Christmas movies of all time, Lethal Weapon.
I'll still say Give Me Shelter beats all those Christmas songs.
Eddie said he wanted to play his favorite Christmas song tonight, Give Me Shelter.
Well, I tell you why. I love Bobby Helms, has a special place in my heart. A white guy, country, who had 1957 was the best year of his life. He had two big hits, My Special Angel and Jingle Bell Rock. And he was a perfect talent. I've seen him before. You didn't have to have any voice makeovers or anything for him. All you had to do was turn on the microphone and let that beautiful instrument, his voice, take over.
The halcyon days, the late 50s. Anyway, okay, so media manufactured martyrs. Well, we're not going to revisit Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown. Michael Brown, even more ridiculous than Trayvon Martin. You have this criminal, this thug, committing a strong-armed robbery on drugs, defies the police. Now, should Darren Wilson have stopped? Should he have waited for backup? Maybe, but it still doesn't give him the right to defy an officer's orders and then attack him, break his orbital socket, reach for his gun. He deserved to die. I mean, it's just basic, as common sense as it can be. Now, this thing with Eric Garner, before we go to Kyle Rogers, an esteemed caller on the line here, normally a guest when he appears. But this Eric Garner situation, once again, you know, I try to be objective in all of these things and not side with one or the other until I receive the facts. I mean, in every interracial altercation, the white guy's not always right and the black guy always wrong. I mean, you have to take each – it does appear that that is often the case, but, you know, we try to be fair. And so, of course, just watching the scene of that, it looks like he may have been a little aggressive. But one thing that I have noticed, they keep referring to it as a chokehold. A chokehold. He like strangled this guy to death. Well, first of all, this guy was about 700 pounds. You know, that's why he had asthma. That's why he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, he was a heart attack waiting for a place and time to happen.
Well, listen, it was still something that was regrettable. But, you know, what do you do? Even if he was breaking some petty law, he was still breaking a law. And he has to listen to the officer. Now, if the officer is wrong, this guy can sue him in court and have his day. But you cannot say no to a police officer. Now, this thing was being filmed. What is the police officer supposed to do when this guy says no and resists arrest? You have got to take him down. But it wasn't a chokehold. It was a seatbelt hold, as he was trained to administer. And he was, again, found that there was no credibility.
And I think that the most important part of the facts that James brought out to you about this that you will not hear in the mainstream media is that this individual weighed 700 pounds.
Well, he didn't quite weigh 700, but I mean, we shouldn't laugh because we're talking about somebody who's passed away. That's what the SPLC does. They laugh and make light of it. I mean, I wish that Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin were still alive.
Well,
I wish they didn't.
Let's just say it. Let's say it then properly. He was morbidly obese.
Yes, yes.
So was Michael Brown, okay? Basically, these people are time bombs. They're a heart attack or a cardiac event waiting for a time and place to happen.
Well, all that's true, and so that certainly, I think, played into his you know, death. And again, I say, I only wish they hadn't have died. Well, I mean, you know, any loss of life is a tragedy, but they've become martyrs now. And these pathetic, these imbeciles, these lame-brained basketball players all wearing this I can't breathe shirt, you know, it just gives them another reason to be malcontents. You know, what they should have worn on their shirt is blame white people for everything. I mean, that's what they're really saying. I mean, that's the real message here.
Well, the thing is, they want differential justice. They want a different standard applied to black suspects as opposed to all others. In other words, we've got to be more solicitous. We've got to feel their pain and understand their folkways. And if they want to resist arrest, well, then we have to allow that.
Well, and this is the thing. I mean, there's only one narrative to this. If they were honest, if these black athletes all wearing these I can't breathe shirts, it's just so pathetic. If they want to be honest, don't break a law, don't defy a police officer, and you'd be alive. I mean, that's all there is to it. If you live a life, they're fantasizing that these black people, these black men were killed just for being black. I mean, that's the fantasy that they have. That was not the case at all. But they're so irrational. They're so hopped up on hatred of all things white, you know, and they think they're brave too by wearing these shirts. Like they've really made a social statement that they're really going out and showing that, man, they're really going to stick it to the man. Well, the entire government, the president, the attorney general, the entire media completely backs them up. There is no courage. They didn't take any sort of stand. They're just children. But let's go.
Let's get to Kyle Rogers right now, because I'm sure Kyle has some interesting observations to make on this whole series of events.
Yeah, and we're happy to have Kyle calling in. Kyle, take it away.
I called to complain about the Christmas music because nobody likes Christmas music.
Hey, we love it, Kyle.
Oh.
This is our show and it's not yours.
I set up a chat box on the CFTC website for the show.
Now we know why you really called in. I'm excited about that. I will send out an email to our mailing list right now, and we will encourage people. I see it here now. If you've already said it, but we will say it too. Go to cfcc.org, ladies and gentlemen. We used to do this, and we would have a great crowd then. We'd be doing it on a regular basis, but I see it here now. cfcc.org, or if you prefer, topconservativenews.com, topconservativenews.com. And scroll down to Political Cesspool Radio Show tonight, and I'm there now, and I'm about to log in and see how this works. So we only got a handful in there at this point, but let's see if we
jump on in. The water's fine.
A different server than the main website, so it shouldn't
crash,
cause the website to freeze up. It should work smoothly.
Well, we're excited about that, Kyle. Thank you for setting that up, and thank you for calling in to inform us of that. And we will certainly pass that on, and I will inform our mailing list here in the next commercial break.
Well, before we let you go, Kyle, what tidbits of insight do you have to offer on?
Yeah, you've tracked these stories more than anyone, and no one does a better job of documenting black-on-white crime. It's Kyle Rogers and Colin Flaherty, and Kyle does it every day. there's too many, of course, to keep up with. But what's your narrative or your commentary, Kyle, on the Eric Garner situation?
I would say the black and white crime is accelerating because of the media hype. And there's several cases that are straight up and down racially motivated murders or near murders where the perpetrators saw themselves as justified because they were getting revenge for Mike Brown. And I don't know if you know about this, but I've seen speeches from Louis Farrakhan before where he poo-pooed the idea that it was time to start the race war because the U.S. government has tanks and planes and whatnot. Well, he gave a speech recently. I've got the video on the CFCC website. It's at a black college in Maryland. There's over 2,000 people present, including a black Maryland state representative. And he blatantly green lights the race war. And he said, even if 10 million black people die, it'll be worth it because we'll get our freedom from the white man. And he goes, only when we kill a lot of them are they going to come to the negotiation table and give us a fair deal.
Well, we got to take a break, Kyle, but I mean, listen, Kyle's right, and we're going to document some of the black on white murders that have occurred.
Particularly in our neighborhood.
Yeah, and even in our neighborhood, right after this. Stay tuned. And no press at all. Thank you, Kyle.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Now that is Santa Claus is Coming to Town in the style of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, which is so far superior to that Paul McCartney monstrosity that we heard at the hotel last week. That is a gentle dig at Courtney from Alabama, who we were having, she was there last week, and we had a spirited debate between the sounds of the Four Seasons versus the Beatles with another group of, it was the youth group there. If you're under 50, you're considered a kid. And so we had the youth group there. And we were talking about this, and I think there was one guy that sided with me, but, you know. Anyway, the guy that had good taste, I think. We did get an email in from Jim, one of our loyal listeners. I hope most people took us in the spirit of hyperbole when we mentioned that Garner weighed 700 pounds. He did, in fact, weigh 350 pounds, still morbidly obese. In fact, it was written by Taki that he could not walk a block without having to stop for rest. And again, what you have here is a man resisting arrest on camera. What's the cop supposed to do? Just walk away? You know, walk away and let that example and precedent be set? I mean, what kind of, you know, message does that send? So it had to take him down once he resisted. Now, if that cop had been out of bounds, he could have faced a lawsuit. Certainly he did face charges, but, you know, they weren't pursued thanks to the grand jury. Anyway, but here's the thing. But you heard about that, right? You heard about Eric Garner resisting arrest, breaking the law, as petty as it may have been. But you heard about his death. He's a martyr. He's a saint. Michael Brown has been deified. Trayvon Martin, an angel. What about in that same period of time, here even in the same period of the last couple of weeks, all of the black-on-white rapes and murders that are not done where there is no justice served and certainly no media attention, but also they are done specifically and without doubt because the victims are white and the perpetrators are black, unlike these instances. Well, we have this one situation, and Kyle Rogers, who just called in. By the way, remember, folks, go to cfcc.org. That's for the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. We're going to try to pack the chat room like we used to in the good old days. When it would crash, we would have so many people in there. But just a few days ago, in the aftermath of the Ferguson decision, black teens beat to death a white man with a hammer. They attacked his car around 1:15 in the morning. This was Sunday before last, south side of St. Louis. They began damaging his car. When he got out of his car to confront them, they smashed his face with a hammer. Now, these were 15- and 16-year-old black kids. He was hit in the face multiple times, also in the abdomen. Hammers were used, the police said. He died of his wounds fairly shortly afterwards in the hospital. A witness filmed this attack. And during this video, you can hear the black perpetrators yelling, F white people, kill white people, right before the attack. F white people, kill white people. They beat this young man. I got a picture of him here now with his beautiful girlfriend or wife. He's dead. The suspects are 15, 16, and 17-year-old black men, teens, I guess you could say. That's what they referred to as, just teens or youths. F white people, kill white people. They beat him to death with a hammer for no reason. Not a hate crime. Of course it's not a hate crime. But you didn't even hear about this outside of the Council of Conservative Citizens and maybe local St. Louis News. And the police, well, I'll let Eddie take it from here.
Well,
Eddie's been following the story, too.
I was going to chime in and say, in the police, the media said that they kind of as much as insinuated that the guy deserved it because he was the white guy, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they said the media said that the white guy was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I would like to reflect on something that me and Sam were talking about the last time we did a show, which was about 2 weeks ago. And I would like to point out the fact that in this country, and I know Sam will agree with me, the police here in the United States are rapidly becoming militarized. We're rapidly approaching a situation of a police state here in the United States of America. The media is totally controlled. They're part of the globalists, of the movers and shakers of this country, and they're going to do their bidding, the bidding of the globalists. And I'm going to tell you why the media focus. They only focus on cases where the police are really in the right, where there is at least room for debate. We touched on this 2 weeks ago. Where there's room for debate, where the police could be, you know, wrong or right, but in other words, what I'm trying to say is, the media is staying away from the cases of police being out of control. Every day, every stinking day, if you want to search the internet, you can find cases where the police are dragging people out of their cars. They're dragging paraplegics out of their cars. They're beating people and tasing people to death. For no reason, because we have a lot of police that are out of control. We have a lot of thug police. Now, the reason that the media is covering the cases where the police are doing good, doing their job, but trying to slander them, what the media is trying to slander them, is to condition white people like us, like Sam, me, James, Keith, the general populace. They're trying to condition them that anytime that there's any criticism of the police in this country, that it's just unfounded. It's another case of a lot of black thugs complaining about the police. And the reason they want to do that, the reason they want to condition the police, the populace to believe that, is so when the police are out of control, when they do commit atrocities, when the news, if it makes it to the news, which it probably won't, then we the people will say, oh, that's just another case of the media slandering the police. The sad truth is, people, we are coming into a police state, and we're probably halfway there now, because I do know for a fact people are killed every day. Innocent people, and you need to go no further than the airports here in the United States and go through the treatment of the TSA. See what, you know, and that thank God, most of the people I know who fly have never been really assaulted bad, but I know some people have. But that's what they're doing, because we are coming to a conditional police state here in the United States, and we're also becoming rapidly militarized. I also want to hit on one more subject that goes along with this before I hand the mic back to James. As you people recently know, I just recently ran the Memphis St. Jude Marathon last weekend. I noticed they had, and it's incremental. I know me and Sam talked about this. They had, guess who they had out there helping? They had the ROTC, High School Reserve Officer Training Corps, helping with the marathon, doing menial tasks. They had the National Guard on hands there. You see, people, that is a direct violation of posse comitatus in this country. You're not supposed to have the United States military performing acts of police activities in the United States. The military is never, ever supposed to be functioning in a police function in the United States of America. They even have these little empty-headed, empty-brained high school people out there. You see, and I was just saddened at how many people thought that was so wonderful. Oh, we thank you so much for being here. We thank you so much for protecting us. You know, it's this incrementalism. The next thing you know, we'll be stopped on the police, on the interstates, by members of the 1st Airborne. You know, the 101st Airborne, from the 82nd Airborne, for the 1st Infantry Division, for the 1st Marine Division. And that's where we're going, people. And I just like to make that
point.
Well,
and we've talked about this, Eddie. We've talked about that, you know, certainly there are police that are rogue and are becoming increasingly unconstitutional.
That's
why we have the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association, to safeguard against that. So, you know, we're not always in the tank for the police. And, in fact, in many instances, we have criticized the police for operating or other law enforcement entities for operating outside of their constitutional bounds. But in these instances where the police are just being skewered, I think they did everything right.
Well, that's why
they're skewered, at least according to their training. But, you know, and of course, talking about, listen, you go to the Council of Conservative Citizens site, you read Colin Flaherty, there are so many examples of legitimate hate crimes, legitimate murders of blacks committing murders against whites simply because they saw the color of their skin that are not reported at all. And then you've got these three media-manufactured martyrs that shouldn't have made page 12 of the local papers, as Sean Bergen told us a couple of weeks ago. And we've got more you know, stories along these lines that we're going to talk about. A writer for the Southern Poverty Law Center who made his living villainizing whites and excusing black criminality was murdered by black criminals in Oakland, California a few days ago. Stay tuned.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rockin' around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling
Christmas is right around the corner, folks. I don't know if you can tell by our musical selections tonight. But before we toss it over to Scoop, and we're going to toss it over to Scoop directly, just to recap, yes, and we did mention this last week as well, but a writer for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, you have to admit, we don't like to celebrate the loss of life, unlike the Southern Poverty Law Center, who giggles and congratulates themselves and gets all excited and posts these horrific posts when somebody that they disagree with dies. You know, they'll celebrate it. We don't do that. I can't say that this writer contributed much to society, but, you know, I'd rather him not die. I'm not going to wish death on anyone, but he was killed by blacks, the same people he tried to excuse for their behavior, and he was killed because he was white, the same people he tries to villainize. For at least the ones who have common sense opinions on racial realities. And so he's dead. That's another interracial black-on-white murder that got little to no press. The Southern Poverty Law Center didn't even make mention of it, except to criticize Colin Flaherty for reporting on it. And then, of course, here in Mississippi, just right down the road in Panola County, which if you're local, you know Panola County is the home of Sardis Lake, which I used to go to with my grandparents for vacations every summer. Well, apparently the black boyfriend of a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white high school student made her drink lighter fluid before setting her on fire. Of course, she died. It's making some local news. You're not hearing about that anywhere. Can you imagine? Let me ask you this. We got to go to Scoop. But can you imagine if a white guy set a black girl on fire, you know, poured lighter fluid down her throat and set her on fire? You think you might have heard that on CNN? You think it might have made news outside of the local, you know, affiliates here in Memphis? Yeah, I probably think that's probably a pretty good idea. And one more thing, by the way, you know, all of these media manufactured martyrs get all this press. How about one of the world's most prolific serial killers was just discovered, and he lives in Brazil. He's a black Brazilian, you know, jet black. This was in the Associated Press, but it's not making the kind of news that it should. He killed, I believe it was 38 or 41, at least 38 white women. He said he chose his victims, and they had to have blonde hair and blue eyes. He only killed blonde-haired white women. He said he would never kill a black because they were family. So you have this monster, this black man, who admits to have killed at least 38 white women. On the basis of race. He said he loved to strangle them, and he loved it as they fought and clawed and screamed. That, you know, aroused him, I guess, and that the moment that they died, he received great satisfaction and pleasure. Can you imagine if a white guy said, you know, this is what I did, and I chose them because they were black, and I didn't choose white women because they were family? Would this have made the Southern Poverty Law Center site? Would this have been national news, cover to cover on every network for weeks on end or for months on end, like these other ridiculous examples of supposed racism are? Absolutely, it would have been. And that's another dig that white men get all the time. Well, whites have the most serial killers. You know, you talk about the disproportionate amount of crime that blacks commit, you know, murders and rapes and armed robberies. Well, they say, well, whites have more serial killers. Do they? Well, this is the world's most prolific. And anyway, I'm beating a dead horse.
He's not
because
white.
This is reality, though. This is reality. You know, this is to have racial consciousness. You see these things. The media will not touch it because it doesn't fit the narrative with a capital T and a capital N. Scoop, over to you, and sorry for keeping you waiting. Take it away.
No problem, James. Good evening, Festival family. James, do we want to go to Staten Island or do we want to go to D.C. for the March for Justice tonight?
You do whatever you want to do. This is your segment.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears a little bit since I think we beat Eric Gardner situation with Dead Horse. But in good old the District of Columbia, as well as Manhattan Island and downtown Baltimore, they had so-called Marches for Justice. And none other than Al Sharpton and the National Action Network sponsored this March for Justice. And speaker after speaker had the same old thing. It's hands up, don't shoot, no justice, no peace, I can't breathe, and same old, same old. And mind you, they're upset about what happened in Ferguson, what happened in Staten Island, what happened in Cleveland. But where were these people when Officer Daniel Faulkner was murdered, Officer Vinny Gadis, Officer Melvin Santiago, and the six officers in Oakland, California? They were nowhere to be seen. Now, mind you, Officer Faulkner, he was the victim of none other than Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, of course, these same jokers that were down at in Northwest D.C. had a sheet with a painting of Mr. Abu-Jamal who was born Leslie Cook, who killed Officer Faulkner, make no bones about it. And, of course, you had these useful idiots known as the guilty white liberals in the crowd. Now, mind you, they probably live in Georgetown, DuPont Circle, some of the other well-to-do hipster neighborhoods of metropolitan Washington. But I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts about 5, 10 to 15 years when they get married and have families and move on to their careers, they're going to make sure that they are well-protected by some of the fine law enforcement agencies in the metropolitan area. But in the meantime, they're down there screaming, no justice, no peace, and hands up, and I can't breathe. And this one clip on local Channel 8 had this black woman. She was hooting and hollering and dancing around. And then right behind her is this dumb white girl just doing the same thing, looking like a total idiot. Back to you in the studio, James.
Yeah, to clarify, well, I mean, everything you said is spot on, of course. To clarify, I'm not sure if it was made clear. It is assumed that there was a black assailant in this this very real Mississippi burning incident. You know, unlike these movies like A Time to Kill where it's all fictionalized, it is assumed, but there has not been an arrest
well,
made yet.
She did have a black boyfriend, and she had just broken up with him, and her letter to him breaking up has been examined, but mysteriously, none of this is reported, even in local news.
Well, I guess you would say he is probably a person of interest, but there have been no arrests made. And certainly, even if he was arrested, it would still be alleged.
Let's just call it
what it
is, James. He's a prime suspect.
Okay. So has it been confirmed that he is a prime suspect, Keith, by the local media?
That's what the police have said down there.
He's a prime suspect. So there you go. So, of course, you know, he's innocent until proven guilty, but it doesn't look good.
Right.
All right, let's go. Do you want to keep it, Scoop?
Yeah, I'll take it and run with it. Now, all right, let's go back to Staten Island real quick. The people are all upset for a supposedly chokehold for Eric Garner. Mr. Garner was 43 years old and selling Lucy cigarettes. He's been through the New York State penal system many a times. Something tells me that his career choices was a very poor one if at 43 years old he's selling Lucy cigarettes. Now, people upset that that the grand jury didn't indict for murder for using a legal chokehold. Well, that's a civil thing. I'll tell you right now, that poor officer better be getting his resume updated because after this is all said and done, Mayor de Blasio is going to throw that poor man under the bus. Now, whether he's guilty or not, you know, the grand jury said no. I'm sure the Garner family is going to sue the city of New York for millions of dollars. So when you stupid liberals are upset that your trains don't run on time or there's potholes in the street, well, you can thank the city for paying off the Garner family.
Hey, I got a question. Scoop, this has fallen into my lap. You just mentioned de Blasio, and there's an email that has come in specifically for you. This gentleman wants to know, and he wants me to ask you, if you have heard about the story about Mayor de Blasio looking to swap the historic paintings in New York City Hall with more modern ones that reflect the multicultural New York. In other words, he's taking down portraits that include a collection of portraits, including that of Alexander Hamilton and President George Washington and Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg. He's taking them down and putting in, I guess, something a little more colorful.
The Rainbow Coalition.
Have you heard anything about that, Scoop? I believe that was reported by the New York Daily News.
No, I have not. Do me a favor. Have that guy send me a link, and I'll investigate it. But
I'll forward it to you right now.
But all right, outstanding. But I would not doubt it because I mean, look who he's married. Look who he hangs out with.
No, I mean it makes sense.
Everything that Rudy Giuliani built and the Michael Bloomberg, who wrote the coattails of Mayor Giuliani, built. Even though I disagree with a lot of his positions, I mean they kept New York moving. But Mayor de Blasio, his idols are probably David Dinkins, Abe Beam, and who's this? Some other idiots. Robert Wagner, and that just put the city into absolute hellhole. So you get what you vote for in New York. And
ask you this, Scoop. Let's just get right down to the nitty gritty on this. Is New York a lost cause? Is this have we finally reached a point in New York City where we can say the last one out, turn out the lights? Is it beyond reclamation?
No. Because for the simple fact, I lived in New York under the Dinkins years. and you would not be caught dead in Times Square during the daylight hours. But here you have a liberal black mayor for the city of New York who actually turned the city into a bigger hellhole than Abe Bean could ever think of. And here comes Giuliani, who turned that city around. And he beat a liberal Jew Democrat, Ruth Messenger, who was Manhattan Borough president, beat her senseless in the next election. And then
glad to hear it.
But they're playing our song, Scoop. And that's not to say, again, that, and you mentioned it, not to agree with everything Giuliani did, but there were some things that we can say he did well. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.